You know, I love that video. I think, you know what, dads, at some point, they have to embarrass their kids. Sometimes they do it knowingly and intentionally, like in the video. Sometimes we just can't help it. We're just an embarrassment to our kids, and we have no idea why. But you know what, I think all of us, it happens. You know, if you're a dad or mom's, you know, a grandparent, any of you can do that at some point. Maybe not to the degree in the video, but, at some point, I think we do. You know, today we're continuing in this series entitled Modern Family because families are messy, right? They're difficult. Throw in kids and it exasperates it, right? Especially when you have kids. Whether you're a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a coach, you know, you work with kids, know kids, come around kids. You know, hopefully this series has spoken to you in some way, and I think today will as well. Because raising and influencing and teaching and mentoring and being there for kids is not an easy thing to do. It is many times messy, figuratively and literally as well. But when we think about this, what is the end game? Okay, what's the goal? What do we hope for when it comes to our kids, right? What's the ultimate agenda or the desired outcome? You know, is it for them simply to be happy? We want our kids to be happy, or we want our children to simply to be healthy, or to have a good job or a good career, or to find the right person, or if it's to have a family, if it's not to be whatever. You know, what is the end game? What is the ultimate? What is the ultimate goal? Now, as a person of faith, I would say that our ultimate goal, whether we're a parent, grandparent, or like I said, teacher, coach, hopefully the ultimate goal to the children that have been entrusted to them is to bless them. All right, to bless the children entrusted to us to know, so that they know God, and that they love God, so that they love their neighbor, so that they are compassionate and they serve others, so that they function well in society. To me, that's the end game. That's the mission that all of us have. And I use the word bless because that's a prominent biblical theme throughout the scriptures. We see this, blessings. But with blessings, there are also curses when you read the scriptures as well. Like our passage that we heard earlier, God says to Abraham, I will bless you so that you might be a blessing, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through you. All right, so this is the end game for Abraham. This is what God desires and what God says, you know, I'm going to do through you, okay? I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing unto others and blessing to all the nations. Everybody's going to be blessed through you. So the question becomes, what is blessing? And I would define it in this way. A blessing is goodness poured into our lives. Okay, so goodness poured into our lives. It's a desire for positive things to happen in our lives, even in the present or in the future, okay? So it might be a blessing, might be what we are currently experiencing, or it may be what's going to come to us later. We receive it, you know, it's something good that we receive, or it's something good that we give to someone else. That's a blessing as I define it. All right, but the scriptures talks about blessings, but they also talk about curses. So what are curses? Well, to be cursed is to be in a state where your life is not enriched, but diminished. Right? So to be in a state where your life is not enriched, but diminished. And so instead of good things, experiencing good things, you're experiencing bad things. Okay. So think about it in Deuteronomy. Moses says to the people of Israel, you know, and as they're standing before the promised land, Moses says, today I'm giving you a choice between a blessing and a curse. In other words, you can choose the path that God has for you, all right, that God wants to give you, or you can choose not to go that way. So you can choose blessings or you can choose a curse. You can choose to follow God, go into the promised land, or you can choose not to, and you can experience death or bad things, curses, in other words. So, and many times we choose by our actions whether we'll experience blessings or curses, just like we choose whether or not we're going to pour blessings or curses upon others or into others, especially now in our context for today, into the children that have been entrusted to us. So again, what's the end game? What are we hoping for our kids? Because here's the thing, all of us have that opportunity to pour blessings into their lives or to pour curses. And so think about that. Which are you doing, and what does that mean? We're going to look at that, kind of what that looks like. But how are you, I think we all want to pour blessings. Nobody wants to pour curses. We all want to pour blessings. So how are you doing that? Okay, what are the blessings that you're trying to pour into the lives of children? All right, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, the kids in your class, in school, wherever. All right, what are those? Because here's the thing. Sometimes, and we have to be careful, sometimes the blessings that we believe we are pouring into children can sometimes be a curse. All right, so what do I mean by this? Well, I think there's kind of three ways I want us to look at it this morning. And the first has to do with something that, it's a good value. All right, it's a good thing, so it means it can be a blessing, but sometimes it can be a curse, and that is this value of being close to our children. Okay, all right, we've come to measure success with our kids, all right, as being close to them, meaning we're a good parent if we are close to our kids, or a good grandparent if they'll tell us everything, that we're their friend, their buddy, and, we want to be close to our kids, right? I think that's not a bad thing. That's a deep desire, a value. All right, we want to be close to our kids. We want to have a close relationship, intimate in that way where they tell us everything. We want to be close to them. Well, Richard Westboard, he's a child psychologist who teaches at Harvard University. He wrote a book entitled The Parents We Mean to Be, How Well-Intentioned Adults Undermine Children's Moral and Emotional Development. All right, so this is what he said. He wrote this book. He's written several books, but this is what he said. He said, American parents are engaged in a giant social experiment. We are seeking a new kind of closeness with our children. Legions of parents are trying, in contrast to their own parents, to be far more involved in their children's daily lives, attuned to their children's struggles, and open to share with their children their own hopes and vulnerabilities. So, again, not bad things, good things, all right? But that's not the end game, is it, right? That's not our mission as people of faith. Again, what is that? To bless our children, to bless the children entrusted to us, so that they know God, so that they love God, so they love their neighbor, all right? And so they are compassionate and they serve others, so they function well in society, okay? Again, that's the end game, that's the mission. But if you believe that the end game, that the priority is to be close to your kids, to be close to children, all right? And for your children to be close to you, that can cause us to do some pretty stupid things. Let me just say it, all right? If that is the end game, if that's our priority, we want our kids to be close. We want to be, to tell us everything, to be close to them, to be their friend, to be their buddy. Then sometimes that can cause us or influence us to do some pretty silly things, stupid things. All right? I'll give you a great example. Upon high school, kids, seniors, they graduate high school, what do? Well, a lot of them go to the beach, right? And so for us, in our context, many of them go down to Myrtle Beach. All right, when I graduated from high school, a bunch of my buddies, they went down to Myrtle Beach for the week. That's just something that a lot of kids do when they graduate high school. Well, this summer, a group of graduating seniors that I know of, that's what they did. Like a lot of their friends, they all went down to the beach to celebrate their graduation. Not a bad thing, great thing. Unfortunately, though, many of them, and again, some of these kids that I know, they got arrested for underage drinking. All right. Unfortunately, that's a common occurrence, especially at the beach during the senior graduation trips and things like that. Some of them got arrested for underage drinking. But what was really, really sad was that, well, they were underage. They were drinking because a parent who had rented a beach house down there at Myrtle for the week, was down there at the same time with their kids and all these other kids. They had bought the alcohol for them. In fact, they were the ones hosting the party at their beach house that they had rented. And so they were providing the alcohol for all these underage drinkers, these high school seniors, 18-year-olds basically. And many of them got arrested. All right. So what motivated them to do that? Well, you know what? They want to be close to their kids. They want to be cool, and you know, they want to do those kinds of things. And it happens a lot. You know, parents want to be close to their kids, and in doing so, they do some pretty stupid things. Now, let me just say, most parents aren't buying alcohol for their kids that are under 21. At least I hope that is not the case. I'll tell you what I struggle with, though. What I struggle with, and maybe you do as well, is holding fast onto the boundaries and to the discipline of my kids, all right? Think about how many times did you hear, or do you hear, these words or these statements? That's not fair. No one else's parents make them do that. I can't tell me how many times I heard that, right? No other kids have that rule. All right, or it was, Mindy and I have said this a lot, especially to our girls through the years, and that is, hey, you need to go upstairs and change clothes. You can't wear that. Sorry. You're not wearing that to school. Sorry. You're not wearing that out. Whatever. You need to go and change your clothes. And I was always met with protest and the weeping and gnashing of teeth sometimes and all those kind of things. But, you know, yeah, those are the boundaries. And in the course of that, there always seems to be the statement from your kids that you're the meanest parents in the world. Yep, heard that one too. Now, if you're judging your success based on how close you are to your kids, and they tell you that you are the meanest parents in the world, then you can feel like a failure, can't you? I mean, if you believe your primary priority, your primary job is for your kids to feel close to you, and they tell you the opposite, then you feel like a failure, right? And so what happens? Well, when the struggle with boundaries and discipline is, you kind of get worn down. You know, kids have a habit of doing that. They try to wear you down, right? And so you start thinking, well, you know, maybe I am being a little too harsh. Maybe I need to lighten up or I need to do this. And so what do? We cave, right? My kids sometimes, you know, they did. They just wore me down and I caved. All right? Fine. Wear what you want to. All right? Wear whatever you want to. But, I mean, and while, you know, you want to bless them and you want them to be close to you, right? But if that is your priority, you might actually be hurting them. You might be cursing them by not doing the things that's going to help them grow up to be healthy and responsible, to love God and to love their neighbors and to serve others, all right? If that's the end game, all right? Again, it's not a bad blessing. We want to be close to our kids. I think all of us desire that. But that's not the end game. That's not the ultimate priority, all right? Because if that's our ultimate priority, sometimes we do things that ended up hurting them. Now, another thing in which we try to bless our kids that can sometimes end up hurting them is, it's kind of related to the first one, and this is the idea that that is our job as parents or grandparents or whoever to make our kids happy. That our priority is to make our kids happy. Again, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I want my children to be happy, and I know how to make them happy, basically. I have an idea of what that is, but that's not the end game. That should not be the ultimate priority, to make my kids happy. When my kids were younger, and we'd ask them, hey, where do you want to go to eat? When they were younger, they loved to go to McDonald's lots of times. And I like to go to McDonald's, but let me tell you, Mindy hates going to McDonald's. That's crap. Not paying for crap or something. But the kids were like, so, you know, you want to make your kids happy. So what do you do? I mean, how many times does the whole family change the plans of what they're going to do because the kids want to do something else? And you want to, so you decide, well, we want to make them happy, and so we change our plans. And so you get them a happy meal to make them happy, right? Okay. But we give our kids things to make them happy. I mean, how many times in a grocery store when you're with your kids do you get something just for them to make them happy? Right? We did it. I mean, it's not a bad thing to want our kids to be happy. Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, we go to great lengths to give them that. You know, maybe things we didn't have, opportunities we didn't have. Why? Because we want them to be happy. I was rereading an article this week by, I think her name's Madeline Levine, a child psychologist, and she wrote a book entitled The Price of Privilege. And in the book, she talks about raising kids, and part of what she noted is the paradox of happiness. And what she noticed was that the more you try to make your kids, to give your kids happiness, what she discovers is that the less happy they are. The more you try to give your kids happiness, the less happy they are. And I think we know how this works, right? I mean, part of what makes something joyful, all right, is working for it. Now, it may not feel joyful working for it, but when you work for something, when you sacrifice for something, when you struggle for something, when you save for something, and then you know what, you accomplish that, there's a sense of joy there, right? A sense of accomplishment. And so what Levine noticed that in her practice, she was getting lots and lots of teenagers who were empty, even though their parents gave them everything. All right? They were empty. They were not happy, even though their parents had given them everything. See, when the focus is on making your kids happy and giving them everything, what are we creating? Are we creating grateful and appreciative kids? Or ungrateful, selfish kids who think that everything revolves around them? I mean, we don't mean to create this. It can just happen. We want them to be happy, but sometimes those kinds of blessings can turn into curses. Again, they're not bad things, but they can potentially become so. I mean, what's the end game, huh? What's the goal? What's the hope? For them to be happy? I hope it's more than that, right? And so the third one, and there's sometimes how we can hurt our kids rather than bless them, is when we try to rescue or save our kid from pain, from adversity, from disappointment, from suffering. All right, I talked a little bit about this last week about letting our kids make mistakes, okay? Letting our teens make mistakes. Well, the opposite of that is trying to rescue them from everything, or to protect them from everything, or to save them from any kind of adversity or disappointment or pain, or suffering. And that's understandable. We don't want bad things to happen to our kids. We don't want our kids to go through difficult situations, right? We don't want them to experience pain and suffering, adversity, disappointment. We don't want them to do that. And so the tendency is to protect them from it, or to rescue them from it, or to see their kid, my kids, to see them always as the victim, right? The child gets a bad grade in school. Well, gosh, it must be because the teacher's not good, right? Or the teacher is mean. And so I want them to be in a different class, all right? So the kid is the victim, and so the reason they're making a bad grade is because of the teacher or something else, right? We're trying to rescue them, keep them from pain, suffering, adversity, disappointment, right? My child doesn't make the team, or my child doesn't get very much playing time. It's got to be the coach's fault, because my child's an excellent player. I paid to send him or her to all these camps during the summer. They should get to play. And yes, sometimes it might be the teacher, or it might be the coach. But how many times are we just trying to rescue our kid? Here's the thing: when you're constantly protecting your children from disappointment, from adversity, from pain, you can actually end up hurting them. James, in his letter in the New Testament, says this: consider it pure joy when you face trials. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the trials of your faith produce endurance and maturity. Because if your children never experience any trials, they're going to be missing out on developing endurance and maturity. That's what James is saying here. And, I recognize there's a balance here, okay? There are times when you should try to rescue and to save your kid or protect your kid. But then there are other times, we need to allow them to experience the disappointment, the failure, the pain, the suffering, right? They got to learn to deal with those things, because That's life, isn't it? That is life. And they need to learn that. And I know this isn't easy. Minnie and I, we struggle with this ourselves. When to be strict, when to be graceful, when to allow our kids to suffer, the consequences, when to rescue them. So I know it's hard. It's hard for all of us, right? There have been over, I think, 75,000, probably more than that, books written on parenting, all right? But not one of those authors are the parents of your kids or the grandparents of your kids. Not one of them, of the authors, are perfect parents. There's no such thing. And so you can do all the right things, and your kids still have problems or struggle. All right? Or you can do all the wrong things, and your kids can turn out great. You know, all we do is we do the best we can. And I believe that's what God expects us to do, is to do the best we can in pouring in the right kind of blessings into their lives. Do the best we can and to pray a lot and say, God, you know, help me make up for all the deficiencies in my parenting, okay? That's what we can do. And that's messy. That's why it's messy, and that's why it's hard, and that's why it's changing all the time, right? And when our kids are young, they're fun. They're cute, aren't they? Right? For the most part, right? They're still diapers, and they're still whining and crying and all that kind of stuff. They're still, you know, ear infection, all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, you know, they're fun, they're cute, all that kind of stuff. You know, they can't wait to see you when you get home. They love to give you hugs and kisses, all that great stuff. But the problem is they continue to grow and they change, don't they? And so all of a sudden, one day you're the hero, and the next day you are the zero. Right? I knew everything, and then all of a sudden I knew nothing. In the eyes of my kids, you know, they couldn't wait to see me, and now they only, you know, they only want to see me when they need something or they need me to fix something. And so, what happened, right? And this is where, you know, if you are a teacher or you're a coach or a mentor or a Sunday school teacher or a youth counselor, this is where you're so important, because this is the opportunity. You have influence all the time, but even more so, right? Even more so during this time. In kids' lives. You know what? They don't want to talk to their parents. All right? They don't want to listen to them, but they may listen to you. I mean, I was like that. I didn't want to hear my parents, but you know, I'd listen to my youth director or my young life leader, all right? Or my Sunday school teachers. And because of them and their willingness to pour blessings, the right kind of blessings, because they understood what the end game really was, you know, they helped to mold and to shape me. And I'm thankful for it. So please don't ever underestimate the opportunity, but also the responsibility and that you have to be a blessing in kids' lives, right? You may never have a kid of your own, and that's great. It's wonderful, because you know what? You can be that teacher. You can be that coach. You can be that Sunday school teacher. You can pour those blessings and influence. Man, just think how many kids that could be, right? But you know what? Our kids continue to grow and to mature, don't they? Right? And many times it comes back around, I believe, eventually, most of the time. And you go from the hero to the zero, and then from the zero back to the hero again. But it's different that second time around. But you know, you go from being fun and cute to being weird and hard. And then if you continue to try and you continue to love them, even through those hard times, many times they come back around. Right? Because, you know, that's the power of blessing. To pour blessing into someone else's life, a child's life, you know, it changes how they see themselves, and that can change the world for them when you pour those blessings in. And that's why we don't give up on them. You know what? We don't give up on them, even through the tough times, that we keep trying no matter what. Even when they disappoint, even when they turn away, even when they push us away, you know, whether it's young or old, you know, it doesn't matter. We never give up on them. Now, does that mean because we continue to pour these blessings in their lives that because we understand what the end game is for them to know God, to love their neighbor, to serve others, you know, to be all those things? You know, is that the guarantee that they're going to be that? No, there's no ever a guarantee of that. You can't make your children be Christian, a follower of Christ. You can't make them be that, no matter what age they are. You can pray for them. You can model, and this is very important, you can model what it means to be a follower of Christ. You know, so they look at, when they look at you, they see that, all right? They can and see that. And then, so again, if it's important to you for them, all right, to love God, all right, to love their neighbors, then it's got to be important in your life as well, okay? Got to be important in your own life, because if not, you know, your kids, they'll see right through it. They just say that. That's not really who they are. And I know we struggle. I struggle with that. But I'm reminded of what the book of Proverbs says. It says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from you. Now, it doesn't say when they are teenagers, they will not depart from you. It says when they are old, they will not depart from you. And so, again, part of our responsibility is to help our kids see why our faith is important to us, okay? To live that out in front of them and to continue to pray for them. And you know, and we give them some space, but we continue to pray for them. And somewhere, hopefully along the way, those kids, they figure it out on their own. They see it, they've experienced it, they've heard it. And then, you know, they figured out out in the end that, you know, all the stuff that they heard, all the stuff that they learned, all the stuff that they saw, that they experienced, maybe when they were kids, they saw that it was really true. And they turn back. They do not depart from you. Right? You know, Jacob said to his son, the blessings of a father. Jacob said to his son, Joseph, the blessings of a father, and I would add a mother, a grandparent, you know, grandmother, a grandfather, are stronger than the blessings of eternal mountains. They are. The blessings that we pour into the kids, they're stronger than the mountains. So the question becomes, so what blessings are we pouring into them? What is the hope for our children? What is the end game that we have for them? My hope, or my prayer is that our priority is that they know God, that they love God, and they love their neighbors, right? And they serve others, and they function well in society. To me, that is the end game. And the hope and the blessings that we try to pour into them. Let us pray. Lord, just give us wisdom to guide our children, because it's hard and it's messy, all right? Help us to learn what to give and what to withhold. Show us when to reprimand and when to praise. Make us gentle and considerate, but yet firm and watchful. Give us the courage to be disliked sometimes by our kids, because that we need to do these things. It may be displeasing to them, but you know what? It is the right thing to do. So give us the virtues we need to lead by word and example. Forgive us for the ways in which we failed. And Lord, look after our kids. Use us, use others, oh Lord, to help them know you and to love you and to follow you and to be the human beings you want them to be. Help us as a church to love our children well, to bless them well. For in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.